This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
We are reading from the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 6, verses 30 to 34 and 53 to 56. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were sheep, like sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. Skipping to verse 53. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him, ran through that whole surrounding region, and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were made well. This is the gospel of our Lord. And you may be seated. Well, if you remember from about 3 weeks ago, Jesus sent out his apostles or disciples to preach. Well, now they're back, and they're all excited. We know this because Luke tells us in chapter 10 that when they came back from one of their preaching tours, the apostles were so excited that they said, "Lord, even the demons were subject to us in your name." And that has to be a fairly, if you think about it, heady experience, if you will, to discover that when you speak in the name of Jesus, even demons flee. But here's what's interesting about this present account in Mark. The disciples are fired up and excited, sort of like most of us are when we go to, when we have our first our salvation experience, or when we go to an exciting retreat, or have an awesome worship time. A missions conference is exciting, or even an awesome devotion time. We get excited about that, and we were just buzzing for about a day or so, maybe. But Jesus says, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." Folks, it is easy to get so excited or so wrapped up in what we're doing, or in the busyness of our daily routine, that we don't take enough time to rest like we ought to, even for a little while. And the more fired up we are, more excited, or the more nervous or more frustrated about our work we are, the more excited we get, and the more likely we are to get so still wrapped up and taken up by it that we forget, in some cases, to take care of ourselves like we're supposed to. And I know this is true, because for those of you who haven't figured this out yet, I'm a compulsively busy person. I cannot stand not to have something to do. I remember just this last year, it was Martin Luther King Jr.'s holiday, a three-day weekend. I didn't have to go to school on that Monday, but by Monday afternoon at 1 p.m., I was bored out of my mind. I had already done all of my grading and lesson plans. The podcast was up on the podcast page. I checked the website. It was looking awesome. And there were no church or school emails to answer. So I didn't know what to do with myself. And Joshua, in his infinite wisdom, said, "Why don't you just relax?" And I looked at him and I said, okay. But I wish you'd stop using foreign words on me. And I think the only time I haven't complained about not having anything to do was when, after my primary care provider thinks that I had COVID, And it was that period of about 2 weeks that I had no energy and felt like a dish rag. But this is by and large the exception to my life's rule. Like on Saturday afternoon, just yesterday, I had all my work done. There wasn't the Red Sox weren't on TV, and I said, what am I going to do with myself? You know, so now you can sit there and say, that boy has a problem. Now, back to our passage. We know the disciples were busy because right after Jesus tells them that they were to go to a quiet place and rest, Mark informs us that, for there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. This is the point where we need to be careful. Have you ever actually been so busy that you forgot a lunch break or some other meal time that passed without you even knowing it? Well, a number of people I know have, so just take my word for it. Keep in mind here that this is the second or the third time Mark has recorded that the crowds were so thick and so needy that one group in chapter 2 had to knock a hole in the ceiling to lower the guy down in front of Jesus. In Mark chapter 3, again, it does say that they were so busy they didn't even have time to eat. And there was this moment when Jesus had to get into a boat to keep from being mobbed by the crowds. So Jesus and his disciples, again, got into their boat and head off to this deserted place. But alas, the text tells us that a lot of people knew Jesus and they likely knew his routine or the places he liked to visit. So a large crowd of people went ahead and were waiting for him and the disciples when they got there. Mark tells us they arrived before them and came together to him, which means it was like metal shavings to a magnet. And so Jesus, when he got out of the boat, he saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. Matthew even includes this line about that time, that they were harassed and bothered. The people looked stressed out. The people looked afraid. The people looked worried. So Jesus saw those needy crowds of people, and it's pretty likely that the crowds then were a lot like they are now. They're upset and bothered, and they may be even emotionally damaged. The crowds of people you see in the grocery store or at the shopping mall milling around, you see them, and you don't know what's going on inside the minds of those people. Some of the people are dealing with rejection. Some of the people are dealing with abuse of some kind. Maybe they're struggling with an addiction. Maybe they're trying to cure their emptiness by getting hold of the latest electronic gadgets, by figuring out, well, maybe if I buy all the latest nice fun stuff, maybe that'll help. Laptop, tablet, the latest cell phone, big screen TV or something. But let's think about this. Would thinking about people when you see them in public and you kind of look into their faces, don't stare, but you look into their faces and see this empty look in their eyes. Would thinking about people like this, what if some of those people that I see are struggling with rejection or abuse or have been emotionally wounded? Would it affect how you see those people if you changed your mind about that and looked at them and saw them, say, the way Jesus would see them? You see, those folks out there, we don't know what's going on in their lives. They may look happy on the outside, but like so many times and so many people I've met before in my own lifetime, they put on a false front. Basically, they're faking it. Because they're alone, harassed, emotionally wounded, rejected. Their best friend told them to take a hike. We need to be able to see people that way, the way Jesus sees them. So what did Jesus do when he saw those people? Did he tell them to go away because his disciples needed some downtime? No, he reached out to them and he taught them. You see, Jesus knew what those people's greatest need was. He knew who they needed was him. And the thing that they needed the most was his time and attention. And some of those people that we know, their greatest need isn't for money, power, or the latest stuff. Their greatest need is for our time and attention. What would Jesus do? Now let's rephrase the question. We have a witness written for us. What did Jesus do? He spent time with them. He taught them. And he gave them his most precious thing he could ever give, himself. Are we willing to take a step out of our comfort zones and let the Holy Spirit empower us to be like Jesus at that moment, to take a chance and speak to that person who may be standing there alone, bothered by something? Are we willing to talk to somebody who may look like they are about ready to fall apart? You don't have to be nosy and butt into their business. But you can say something like, hello, smile, and smile to them. How are you doing today? But then here's the key to that. Be willing to listen to them if they decide to go past the usual brush off, yeah, okay, or fine. What are you going to do if you ask somebody, how are you doing today, and they actually start to tell you? Are we going to be like a lot of us would be like, or are we going to be like Jesus and give them the time and listen to them? Maybe that's all they want, is for someone to listen to them. Because this world is really fast-paced. It's crazy. It's busy. And one of the greatest things the devil has figured out is that he doesn't really have to harass us much. He doesn't have to plant evil thoughts in our minds. All he has to do is keep us busy. And we will neglect the Lord's work 9 times out of 10. Now, moving on very quickly to verses 53 and 56, we see a repeat of verses 33 and 34. The people of the Gennesaret region recognized Jesus and started bringing to him all of those who were sick, but he touched a lot of them. As many as he touched were made well. And it says also, as many who touched him were made well. You see, there were so many people with so many needs that they weren't willing to wait for Jesus to touch them. They were thinking, I got to reach out and I got to touch him. The needs were that great. And there was that much tension in the air from those people who had those needs. But what did Jesus do? He touched them. He gave them his time. He gave them his heart. And he gave them his healing. So if we want to be in tune with Jesus, let's ask the Lord to fill us with his Holy Spirit and the gift of discernment so we can be like Jesus and reach out, to borrow an old slogan, reach out and touch someone because they may need it. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.